Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on March 28th, 2019. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or brushing up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For additional information, visit their website at academyofforeignlanguages.com, that's all spelled out, or call 310-975-4133.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose, that's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com and executive producer of The South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, how are you today?
Here comes the weekend, Joe. Here comes the weekend.
Yes.
It's Thursday.
Okay.
No, because Kelly has her line on Friday. You know, she does her Happy Friday. So my new one for Thursday is Here Comes the Weekend. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Sort of like Here Comes the Bride.
Here comes the weekend. Here comes the weekend. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. Actually,
you know what
this weekend is?
What?
You're not going to know this. It's mine and JB's anniversary.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. What are you guys going to do?
I'm not exactly sure yet. He says he has something up his sleeve, but he hasn't, you know, told me yet. So I don't know what the plan is. Yeah.
Okay.
I gotta go look up the list, you know, where it says, you know, first anniversary is this, second anniversary, 10th anniversary. I gotta find out what 29th anniversary is.
29th anniversary. Wow.
Yeah.
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 That's wonderful.
I'm an old bride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An old loved bride.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, we have a whole bunch of people that we're going to talk about this morning, so I think that we should get right to it, right?
Yeah, I would love to talk about some stories in the South Bay. Can we do that, Jackie?
Absolutely.
Okay. Who do we have? Who are our guests today?
All right, our guests this morning are Jim Mueller, John Gran, Russell Boschetto, and Chuck McPeak, from this year's production of the South Bay Story Show. Now, Jim Mueller is a writer, producer, and actor. He produced the first South Bay Story Show in 2015, produced and starred in the Hermosa Beach production of the Tony Award-winning play The Gin Game in 2012. After writing, producing, and acting in the short film Everybody Says Goodbye, as well as the award-winning feature film DeWitt and Maria, Jim enjoys producing, directing, and performing in stage showcases with the Movers and Shakers and others. He has also performed at Shine, the Santa Monica storytelling show, and his story, The Kiss, was chosen as Shine's 2014 Best in Show. Now, John Gran, a local business owner, resides with his family in Redondo Beach. His primary focus is giving back to his community, and he does so by recently joining the newly formed Redondo Kiwanis Service Club and serving a four-year term on the Redondo Beach City Council. Russell Boschetto is the CEO of ShareHope USA. Nearly 4 years ago, his son Simon, age 8, realized that providing hope, compassion, and kindness was the way to nourish the souls of the homeless and sick children. Okay, somebody's making an awful lot of background noise there while I'm reading this intro. please stop. And the most important thing to Russell, a most important and meaningful part of Russell's life is being a dad. Now, Chuck McPeak was a CPA for 25 years and a professor at Pepperdine University School of Business. He's retired now and doing something completely different from standing up in front of a class. He's doing stand-up comedy. He has performed multiple times at Hollywood's Famous Comedy Store and at the Clown House on West Pico in L.A. Chuck is also a popular improv performer in the South Bay. Now, the South Bay Stories Show presents two performances on Saturday, March 30th at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday, March 31st at 2:30 p.m. at the Second Story Theater in Hermosa Beach. And this morning, we're going to get a sneak peek at what audience members can expect of this year's production. So, Jim, John, Russell, Chuck, welcome to the program, and thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Jackie. Thank you so much.
Everybody's there.
Happy anniversary.
Oh, thank you. Well, not yet. This weekend.
It's new furniture, Jackie. 29th anniversary. New furniture.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. I guess I got to go out and buy a new sofa or something. All right.
30th is a traditional pearl or modern gift diamond on 30th.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, it's wonderful to have you. The South Bay Stories show is an amazing collaboration, and we love having it here in the South Bay at the Second Story Theater in Hermosa Beach. Jim, you know, some people still haven't attended. We need to give them the pitch. What is the South Bay Stories Show?
Joe, the South Bay Stories Show is the true stories of the people. And now this is the fifth show, so altogether now we have had about 30 people from the community, mostly from the South Bay, almost exclusively from the South Bay, telling their true personal stories about incidents that have happened to them or experiences they have had in life and so on. And, you know, it's very interesting because when I talk to people about the show, especially people who went to the first show in 2015, they still remember one or two stories, and they still want to talk about it. So it's something that if you go to the South Bay Story Show with your companion or your significant other, you'll want to go down to Pier Avenue, have dinner, and talk about it. There'll be a lot to talk about on this about the stories on this year's show.
Right. So it's you know, obviously the people say, oh, watching a movie at home is not the same as going to a theater. Watching a play is certainly not the same as seeing something on television. This experience.
No, that's absolutely right. Live theater is a unique experience. And, you know, I think people really respond to that. And it's interesting that you can have live theater without props, without fancy scenery or trick shots. And Shakespeare proved this to way back, 500 years ago, because if you go to a Shakespeare theater, it's really nothing except a stage and actors. And the main thing is the story and the words that are uttered by the actor. And it's the words, the story, that are important in live theater.
I have to ask, Jim. So you've been doing this for 5 years now, and how do you find people to tell their stories? And how do you decide enough to be in the show year after year?
Well, that's a really good question, because I think the first, I'm going to address the last part of your question first. You know, everybody has a compelling story. And I have found in putting the show together that I really don't need to look for people to tell stories. In fact, one time I went out looking for a famous storyteller and I got him, and he wasn't the most interesting person in the show. His story wasn't the best story in the show. Everybody has a great story. And one of the things we try to do at the South Bay Story Show is find people, or now people come to us and they say, I would like to tell my story because I think I have an interesting story. And it's just a matter of choosing the most interesting one. And then we help people get up on the stage, because as you know, Jackie, you're really good on the stage, but maybe you don't know this, but as many people know, it's very difficult for people to get up in front of a large number of people and speak, much less tell something personal. So my director, Tony Teresi, and I, we really work hard to help people learn a little bit about how to perform and how to be comfortable on stage talking to a group of people about something that can be very, at times, very personal and very deeply embedded in their lives. So, yeah, it's not a trick finding people. It's a trick helping people be comfortable telling their personal stories. And these stories, every show has compelling stories. And you know, some people who are in the audience, there are going to be 8 stories at this show. And you know, some of the stories you don't make contact with, but others of the stories you do. And it's very interesting when I talk to people after the show how different people look at different stories. Some people are touched by a story, but other people are not touched at all by the same story, but they're touched by a story that's completely different than the other people were touched by. So it's a very interesting experience.
Wow.
So, John, I want to bring you into this conversation because as a local business owner, tell us about how this has affected your life in terms of being a performer. Do you consider it a performance, John, or do you consider it just telling a story?
Well, thank you, Joe. I consider it a little of both. And when Jim approached me about potentially talking about my situation and my story, you know, we all live our lives where we don't think we're doing anything spectacular out of the normal. And what Jim brings to the whole table is that the stories that we do have and are things that we're involved with really do interest other people, whether it's people living vicariously through our experiences or the things that we learn. You can really learn a lot from someone who communicates their way in life. When Jim approached me, you know, I'm a small business owner and I work in a couple of different organizations with Jim, and he and I were chatting and whatnot. And I recently became a city council member in Redondo Beach. And, you know, I have to get up in front of a lot of people, and we have to be up on the dais and make decisions and everything. And again, it's become my regular daily life. But I realized that a lot of people, including Jim, would ask, like, why in the heck would you ever want to become a city council member? Just as simple as that. it's like no money, you get abused, you have to make very important decisions, and the best you can do is have 50.1 people happy and, you know, 50% of the people happy, the other half hate you. So why do that, and why step out of your lane? And I didn't really see it as a compelling story. It's, you know, I have my reasons why I did it. And Jim and Tony brought that out of me as, hey, no, this is a story, and it's answering the question of why the heck would you want to be a city council member? And that's how I give back to my city and my community. But again, we all kind of look at it and we don't realize we're doing things that are out of the norm. And that's kind of where it came from.
Okay. Mm. Okay. So, Russell, I want to ask you a similar question, but what a story. Share Hope USA. Tell us about that first.
Well, it really is an act of just passion. For me, it's really twofold passion, and that of supporting your child, your son, my son, supporting him in what his passion is, which is really just helping other people. But then, you know, easily morphed into helping other people as well, and it's become this whirlwind of just goodness, kindness, compassion, feeling for other people. And it's just it's an amazing small nonprofit organization that was really just started out of one 8-year-old's question as to why was somebody hungry and where do they live? And out of that was created this movement to feed all of them and to give all of them hope and kindness and compassion. And then from there transferred into helping sick children at the children's hospital. And so, you know, you fast forward almost 4 years later and he's touched, you know, over 42,000 people's lives and giving them kindness and hope out of one very innocent, simple question. Why is she hungry? It's an amazing story.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Wow. And Chuck, CPA to storyteller, tell us about that.
Well, in Jim's show this weekend, I'm the exception. I'm not going to tell a story. Jim and I are in an acting group together, and he has seen me at the Manhattan Beach Arts Center. He's seen me do stand-up comedy, which I have done quite a bit of. And so he asked me if I would take one of the slots in his show and do 8 to 10 minutes of stand-up comedy. And, of course, I love doing it, so I accepted it. I was a professor at Pepperdine for 25 years, and 2 years ago I retired, and I was looking around for something to keep me off the streets, and I stumbled into Joslyn Center, and Jim was conducting what's called Acting Out Again, an acting workshop. And I joined in and ended up doing one scene in the upcoming showcase. So then one of the members of that cast invited me to be in an acting class at Santa Monica College for seniors, mm-hmm. Santa Monica College Emeritus for seniors. And so I branched into that. And then Jim told me about the improv group at the Manhattan, sponsored by the Manhattan Beach Rec Department, and I got involved in improv. And mm-hmm. the final step, I got a mailer from the older people's division at El Camino College. And I looked and I said, I wonder if they have an acting group. And I looked under performing arts, and they didn't have acting, but they had stand-up comedy. It was sponsored by the community college. It was conducted by Adam Barthart, who is a longtime stand-up comedian. And I went to his workshop, and I went for a session was about 10 weeks, and I did it about 2 or 3 times. And that got me involved in stand-up comedy. And I've done several shows at the Comedy Store in Hollywood. And I've done a show at Adam Barnhart's headquarters, which is called the Clown House down near Staples Center. And I have done 2 stand-up sessions at the Manhattan Beach Art Center, and I regularly perform in our improv group, which we merge regularly with the improv group at MiraCosta High School, and it's called Intergenerational Improv, Seniors and Seniors, Senior Citizens mm-hmm. And Seniors in High School. So Jim talked to me recently and said, how would you like to be in our show and instead of telling a story, do some stand-up comedy? And I'm delighted. I love being up on the stage, and and I'm happy to do it.
Hey,
so
Joe.
Yes.
Joe, didn't we have the MiraCosta kids on from that program? The intergenerational. I'm almost positive we had them on.
Oh. Okay. I didn't remember directly, but it's very interesting. Sorry, Jackie?
No. Go ahead.
It's very interesting, Chuck, when you talk about this. You know, what is it about stand-up comedy that really appeals to you?
One of my acting partners who works with Jim on this show, Donna Barron, she was my acting partner at the Santa Monica events, and she called me a stage whore. She said, you can do anything to get up on the stage. So
you know,
I guess she loves it.
That's so funny, Chuck.
This is Jim. I have to interject here because, you know, I went to one of the Seniors versus Seniors show at MiraCosta, and when Chuck got up, there was a whole gang of people in the audience, kids, started yelling, Chuck, 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 Chuck. He's got groupies. Chuck has groupies. And, you know, I have to say that Chuck, you know, I have to dispute the fact that stand-up is not storytelling, because actually I was listening to Chuck's routine and I thought, you know, he's really telling a story. It's just in a different way, a different way of relating to life's experiences. So I thought, well, it's a different way of telling a story. Why not have stand-up in the show? And so I think it's going to work out great.
Jim, I agree with you 100%. My favorite comics, my favorite stand-up comics are the ones that tell a story through their routine. You know, it's all connected. You know, when you get to the end of it, everything is connected to the other. It's just, you're right, it's told in a different way. But absolutely, I absolutely agree with you. The best comics are the ones that are able to weave a story. Now, Chuck, I have to go back to you for a second. That's so funny because she called you a stage whore. A stage whore, is that it? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, maybe Jim or John or Russell or Joe, maybe somebody can explain this to me. Several years ago, I was asked to do the South Bay Dancing with the Stars, Dancing with the South Bay Stars, and I did it. You know, it was a good cause. You raised some money, right? But after I did it, I realized that I don't enjoy the process of performing. But obviously, Chuck, you do. So, Jim, explain that to me. What makes one person super comfortable on the stage and another person not?
Well, you know, I'm not exactly sure. I can't really say totally. But here's the way I have perceived it, having been on the stage. It's your attitude when you're up there. If you have the attitude that the audience is sitting in judgment of you and waiting for you to make a mistake or say something wrong or, you know, fall down, then you tend to freeze on stage. You are afraid. And I think the people who are most comfortable on the stage realize that the audience really loves them. And, you know, all you have to do is look at our celebrity culture and see that people love performers. they're not sitting in judgment of them when they perform. They love them. Person who can get up on the stage and make you laugh and you know, feel emotion, that's a person that you love. And if the performer gets up and feels the love of the audience, then they feel comfortable and their best comes out. And that's what we try to do with our storytellers, is convince them that the audience loves them and loves their story and wants to hear every word that they say.
And it's such a great audience, too. Such a great audience at this event.
Yeah. Interesting.
Chuck has a unique persona on stage. And he appears to be very, very comfortable. I think the audience is going to fall in love with him because he just you know how it is. A performer has a charisma, and Chuck has it. But all of our storytellers have it, and they're really coming out. I think that we've rehearsed a couple of times and really tried to help them feel comfortable, and they're starting to come out. They're starting to come out of their shells, and by the time Saturday night rolls around, they will be up there performing. The audience will love them.
when you do your practices, do you actually sit them on the stage? And one of the most disconcerting things to me was that on stage, the lights are on you. You can't see the audience. It's just there's light in your eyes and it's just a black wall. You don't see the people. Do you guys practice that?
Well, we're going to practice that on Friday night. That's our dress rehearsal night. But no, you don't see the audience, but you feel them, especially in a live audience and especially in our theater that's pretty small. You can feel the audience. It's an interesting phenomenon. It's a wonderful human community phenomena that you feel this breathing. I don't want to say mass of humanity because that, you know, kind of dehumanizes it, but you just feel them out there, and then they react. They'll laugh or they'll sigh, and sometimes you can hear people gasp when you say something that, you know, really touches them. So it's not a matter of seeing them; it's a matter of feeling them.
I'm sorry, Joe. I have a million questions. So Chuck obviously has experience performing. John, you it's not performing, but you have experience dealing with the community at large. As you said, you're up on a dais at your meetings and you have your community meetings and stuff. Russell, do you have any experience being out in front of people like either Chuck or John or Jim? Russell? Russell,
here you go. I'm sorry. I'm here.
Mute. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, it's funny because when I was a kid, I grew up in a very religious family, and so I would get up in front of the congregation of 200, 300, 400 people sometimes, give my sermons and such, and so I have that basis of speaking in front of people, and then, you know, you come into now starting a small nonprofit. We started this Play-Doh drive, and now in our fourth annual Play-Doh drive is this May, and that has started out as just collecting Play-Doh for the Children's Hospital of LA, but it's very rapidly moved into a tool to help instruct and speak and motivate middle school, high school, and leaders on how to move forward with kindness and compassion and give back to the community. And so we go on speaking tours every year now. And Cy, who's now 12 years old today, he speaks at about 30 different schools, and we go to these schools and we talk to all the staff and all the kids about, and try to motivate them to think community first. So it's a wonderful thing.
You know, you know, my next question to you, just before you answer that, was I wanted to ask you, because you're telling us the story of your son, the simple question that started you on this road, and he obviously is a compassionate individual, and I was going to ask you, was, you know, are people born that way, or is it learned from their environment? And obviously, what you just said about growing up with religion in your life, you know, it would seem to me that that's how he was brought up. So I guess you don't even have to answer that.
It's a really good question, and I try to. It's funny when we go and we speak to a lot of parents and a lot of leaders, and you know, I try to explain to them. I feel very firmly that all children have this gift of unbridled compassion and kindness. They're born with it. It's in them. It is our jobs as leaders, parents, and motivators to bring that out and water that and allow that to grow. It's the world and the society we live in that often extinguishes that in a lot of us and burdens us with what this world has, and then it doesn't allow that to fester. And so what my wife and I have done is really – just allow what I feel is just naturally there, just to spotlight that and allow that to be, you know, a motivational basis and foundation to grow on. And you know, we have a youth ambassadorship with our organization, and the whole purpose of that whole program is to do exactly what I just said, to take what I feel our youth already has and to just capitalize on that and help them understand that if they were to just focus on that and allow that to be the motivating factor in their young lives, that they can change people's lives now when they're 8, 9, and 10 years old. And they don't have to be an adult and have millions of dollars and know a lot of people. They can do it right now.
That's amazing. Joe, that's a good point for a break. Let's take a station break. And then we'll come back and talk some more about this cool show.
Let's do that. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show. We have regular shows, 8 a.m. on Thursday and 8 a.m. on Friday. We'd love for you to join us on a regular basis and share this show with everyone you know in the South Bay who has a passion for how we live and what we do here. And, of course, today we're talking with the South Bay Story Show and Jim Mueller's production of stories and comedy and live action theater that you're sure to enjoy coming this Saturday, March 30th at 7:30 p.m., Sunday, March 31st at 2:30 p.m. at the Second Story Theater in Hermosa Beach. So we're going to talk more about it. Jim, when you think about the time you've spent already on the South Bay Story Show, is there going to be any change, or are you on to a good formula and you're just going to continue that formula going forward?
Well, we're going to do the show the same way we've done it since the very first. And one of the things that I wanted to do, after having seen many shows, similar shows, all around the area, is simplify things so that it seemed to me that some of the shows had a lot of clutter. And so at the South Bay Story Show, you will only see the storytellers. There's no MC. There is a musical storyteller that we should talk about a little bit. But the storytellers just come on one after the other and tell their story. The audience reacts, and then the next storyteller comes. So we have eight stories, and plus the musical storyteller. And it's very, very simple, and it flows along. There are no breaks. We don't have an intermission. There's no shuffling of stuff around on the stage. It's just one story after the other. Very simple.
Okay.
Jim, do you, only because I mentioned it in the intro, at another venue like this. What is it? Shine in Santa Monica. And I mentioned in the intro that there was a story that was voted like best in show. Do you do that here in Hermosa? Does the audience
no,
like
I
decide
haven't.
If it?
Yeah, I haven't done that story. I would like to do it, but I don't want the show to be about me. I want it to be about other people. There's so many wonderful stories all over the South Bay, people walking around with carrying these stories. I want them to hear about them and not me.
Well, no. What I was wondering is in the South Bay Story Show, does the audience vote for a favorite like they do at the one in Santa Monica?
Oh, no. No, they don't.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I like that. I wouldn't like it to be a competition. I don't know.
Right. It's not a competition. Each story is unique. Each story stands on its own and has its interesting parts and the things to talk about. That's what I meant. But after the show, get together with your friends and your loved ones and talk about what you heard and how it made you feel. That's one of the fun parts of going to the show.
Yeah, it's interesting what you had mentioned earlier when you were explaining how some people, like one story, will touch one person a certain way, have a completely different effect on another person in the audience. It reminded me, we have a couple of excellent short film festivals in the South Bay. Actually, I think it's this weekend, LunaFest. But we have the other one that the Palos Verdes Land Conservancy puts on. I can't remember the name of it, Scenic Beauty, something like that. But we have a couple of excellent short film festivals, and it's the same thing, where you go sit in a theater for 2 hours, you watch, maybe 10, 15 short films, and some of them grab you, and others you're like, yeah, I don't need to see this.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Interesting.
Only we don't have any stories that nobody wants to hear. At our show. Yeah, I don't think we've ever had a show that really had anything really extreme on it. It's people's emotions and people's lives that are sort of laid out there for you to see and how they feel about things. And, we just haven't run across anything that's extreme that is that interesting.
Well, are you going to tell us about your musical storyteller?
Yeah, I'd love to. Yes.
Yeah.
I've always had on the show a musical storyteller, and one of the things that I want to do is I want to make it a solo instrument. And I wanted to highlight instruments that weren't usually heard in a solo as a solo. I think that's been very successful in the past because people find that it's a new experience and a different way of telling a story. When you focus on one instrument and you hear that played in a certain way, it's like a story. And so this time we have Alex Hahn, who is a saxophonist. And Alex is quite accomplished, actually. He's a graduate of the Thelonious Monk Jazz Institute and as well as the UC Thornton School. So he's an accomplished musician, but he's also a great improviser. And I've given him all of the 8 stories, the scripts, and asked him to create a story on his saxophone around those stories.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was getting a little feedback there.
There is some.
Yes, somebody's got something going on in the background. It's interfering with our sound quality. Sorry. Okay, so I'm sorry, Jim. So what's the name of this musician again? I'm sorry.
Alex Hahn is his name.
Alex Hahn.
And
he's playing a
yeah, you can.
All right.
Yes, and he'll be playing the sax. He's a very accomplished musician. I've given him the scripts to all of our stories, so he knows something about what's going to be said, and he will come up with a musical story that speaks to those spoken stories.
All right. Mm-hmm. So as Joe mentioned at the break, you know, there are two performances, one on Saturday, March 30th at 7:30 p.m., and another on Sunday, March 31st at 2:30 p.m. at the Second Story Theater in Hermosa Beach. Jim, how much are the tickets?
They're $20, and you can go on SouthBayStoriesShow.com, and there's a button there, and you can buy the tickets there.
All right. Okay. Well, I wanted to get back to what John was saying about going about your life and not feeling like you're doing anything out of the ordinary, but other people might find what it is that you don't think is anything special is compelling. So can you give us maybe, Jim, a couple of don't tell us the stories, but some of the story concepts. It's just a two-line description of what people can expect this year.
Yeah, there's a great variety this year, and John and Russell and Chuck have told you a little bit about their stories. The other stories are very interesting. We have Judy Francis, who spent her career as a diplomat all over the world, and she finally was stationed in Africa, and she has a very interesting take on political correctness having to do with the difference between black and white. And so I think that's going to be very interesting. And Nina Murphy was at one time the only woman photojournalist in motor racing. And she'll be telling the story about how she got into that through her connection as a French, through her French ancestors, learning French, and how learning French led her to be the only woman photojournalist in motor racing for a while. To be something completely different, Connie Alexander will talk about trying to marry off a maiden aunt who refused to marry.
Wait a minute. Do they still do that? Is that still being done? People trying to marry off the old maid aunt?
Yes, it still goes on. And so anyway, Connie's story is very funny about this woman, her Aunt Ada, who is a very interesting character. And so I think you'll really enjoy that. We have one other storyteller, and it's slipping my mind now, but the stories that we will be sharing are really compelling, and I think that Russell and John and Jim, I should tell you, Jim Lobdell, I forgot about him. He will tell about being educated in the University of Harlem. And what he's going to be talking about is going as a young pastor from Minnesota, a white guy, and being assigned to a church in Harlem. And his story is a really great story about going into a community that you are a total stranger in and being taken in by the community and supported by that community, even though you, the person coming from Minnesota, are supposed to be serving them. So that's going to be a great story as well.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Wow.
And by the way, Jim Lobdell is a person who has absolutely no trouble getting in front of an audience and making them totally wrapped with what he has to say.
Well, he's a pastor. He's another one. He gets up and talks in front of people. Yeah,
that's
so,
right.
Yeah.
He does. And, you know, he one of the things that he wanted to do was he didn't want to give any kind of a sermon or proselytize in any way, but he wanted to tell about his experience of being served by other people, where not he was serving them or talking necessarily about religion at all, but going into this community and being helped to be able to live and survive in this in a community that was totally strange to him. So that's going to be a great one too.
You know, it's so interesting. This is like, Joe, this is like a, it's like a master course, like a Toastmasters, you know, only all rolled into one, you know, instead of going every week, you get this one intense, you know, call it a crash course, you know. How long have you guys been practicing this? How long is this process from the time, John, from the time Jim asked you, like, did you go home and did you have to go home and write it down? Did you have to go home and practice in front of a mirror? How does the process work?
Sure. Well, Jim approached me about 6 months ago, and I was intrigued about, would someone really want to listen to this story? So I'm, you know, I do a lot of marketing, I do a lot of writing, and the way that I write and the way that I communicate is mostly through business prose and you know, facts and real details, and I think that those things are all important. And as I started to write the story down, I realized that my story was about 4.5, maybe 5 pages long. It was dense. It had just really riveted with facts and all the real important stuff. And as you go through the process and you start to rehearse, met with Tony and Jim, and they gave me some pointers and things, and it became something that was not prose or written words to be put on a website or in a marketing page, but started to become something more of my voice. And they really walked me through the process of making it more my voice. I thought, well, these details are important to the story. And they're like, no, they want to hear about you. They want to hear about the emotion behind it. What is compelling you to do what you're doing in your day-to-day? And it was a really nice and wonderful experience. It went down from essentially kind of reading very fast, and that was kind of how I was looking at it, because I needed to get under that 8 minutes. So reading very fast to then taking a time, making sure that you enunciate, making sure that you're doing the inflections, as well as actually telling the story rather than reading from the page. They're wonderful at taking someone who, you know, communicates in a different way, as I'm usually just talking about facts, to now conveying your story. And it was a great process. Over the 6 months, I've probably rewritten my story, or at least down considerably. Probably once every 2 or 3 weeks, I would send them a new version of it. They would take a look at it, and I think Jim probably chuckled from version one to the version I'm going to do tomorrow night and Saturday and Sunday. But it is, they've made me a very different storyteller, because it is from me. And I'm very excited to be able to hear these other stories. When I hear about them, I'm going, wow, my story pales in comparison, and I'm looking forward to hearing those. But the process has been a 6 month starting to really look at the story and what's the essence of it. They brought out other pieces. For instance, one of the reasons I'm doing this is because my dad talked to me about being a politician, and politicians in general suck, and now I am one. So, how do you become that? How do you translate that into something that other people might have that same feeling? And now you get to help them sit up in the dais and see the public and see how people are reacting to a politician from the politician's eyes. And I'm not trying to be someone who's trying to, you know, get a new funding or anything. I'm just sharing my story. I'm a human. I'm a neighbor. And I'm trying to do good in my community. But I get called names. Mm-hmm. And I have to make hard decisions. And I have to – there's contradictions. And I have my family to interweave with those things. And Jim and Tony have just been fantastic about being able to kind of hone the story to where it's really about. not about the facts. It's not about all those others. It's about the emotion and sharing that with the audience. I'm really excited about doing that on Saturday and Sunday.
Wow. Wow. Was it a similar process for you, or did you go at it a different way?
Yeah, you know, pretty similar. You know, when you get approached for doing the show, they ask you to write it all down, write what you want your story to be, and then you just kind of send it over to them, and then they give their thoughts about it. And as you go through the process, it kind of just, as was said, you kind of just skim the story down to what's the best to be said and what's going to be received the best. And so it turns it into a really polished piece.
Interesting. I'm sorry, I'm getting some feedback again.
I hear that too.
Joe, yeah, I'm gonna put my mic off for a minute, Joe. You go ahead.
Okay. Sure. Well, lots of people that have never come to a South Bay Story Show event will want to know what to expect. Can you give us an idea, Jim, on advanced ticket sales? Are people likely to get a seat?
Yeah, and I don't think people should worry about that. Just buy your ticket. The ticket site is set to maximize, you know, to not sell any more tickets when we've reached full. So I do have to say that this year the ticket sales are way ahead of previous years. And
yes.
So I'm really anticipating. Thank you, John. Way ahead of last year, and I'm hoping that we will have a full house for both nights, both performances.
I see. With a politician on stage, we'll have to pat down everyone and make sure there are no tomatoes coming in.
That would be appreciated, yes.
Yeah, no tomatoes allowed. No tomatoes allowed.
This is not a political thing at all. It's not political at all. It's entertainment.
It's not political.
It's entertainment.
Right. You know, as John was explaining about his story, we finally got to the point where we said, John, tell us why you did this. You know, we want to know about you. We don't necessarily want to know about your politics, and it turns out that for John, politics weren't involved at all in his decision to run. It was a desire to be of service to the community and to do better. So there are no politics. People don't have to worry about that. There won't be any politics involved in this.
Not at all.
Well, you've all given an excellent account of your relationship to the South Bay Stories. It's just something that I know many people. Yes.
I'm sorry. Yes. Are you hearing this background noise?
I do. I'm not sure where it's coming from. It does not seem to be coming from my
side. Yeah, it's
anyone?
Very, you know, it's.
Well, hold on. I have an idea. Hold on.
Okay.
Jackie, do you still hear it? Do you still hear
it?
No,
I don't hear it now. Hear it now.
So it's coming from one of the sides that are muted out.
All right. Okay. Well, you know, it's just that I get crazy when the sound quality gets crummy.
Yes.
But so I'm just thinking if it doesn't get any better,
hey,
I want
Jim?
To end the show early because nobody wants to listen to this.
No, it's coming from Jim's side. So,
okay, all right, so we can keep him muted for a minute. Okay.
Yeah. Do you have
my side?
Yeah, Jim, something, what is that?
Yeah, when we mute you, we're not getting it. Okay, all right.
Oh,
well, now
background is coming from me?
Yeah.
I will sign off. I'm using a phone that is a wireless phone. You know, cordless.
Yeah, that might be it. Phone. Yeah. It seems to be gone for now. So we can proceed. But as I said, Joe, if it doesn't get any better, we can just sign off a couple of minutes early, okay?
Yes, of course. Yes, we will.
Okay.
But I have control of it now. At least I thought I did. But let's say thank you to everyone. And we want the contact information for the South Bay story. And we want people to know how to get in touch with you.
Okay, yes, thank you. Again, thanks for having us on your show. People can go to southbaystoryshow.com to buy tickets and see also the photos of all the storytellers. And the theater is at 710 Pier Avenue. It's the Hermosa Beach Community Center right on the corner of PCH and Pier. And people who buy tickets, I'm going to send them the parking map of Hermosa Beach so they won't have any problems parking. And I hope they take advantage of all the wonderful restaurants that are up and down Pier Avenue. And then either before or after the Sunday show, before the Saturday show and after the Sunday show, go down on the pier and enjoy the sunset and make an evening of it. But make sure you allow time to sit down with whoever you went to the theater with to talk about the stories, because you'll definitely want to do that.
Right. Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, Russell, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And Chuck, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been a lot of fun.
All right. And John, thank you as well. It sounds like it's going to be a wonderful experience.
Thank you, Jackie and Joe. I just love the South Bay show, and I'm a big fan. And always great to talk to you. And thank you so much for what you guys do for our community. And come on out, everybody. We'd love to have you all here tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday. Come on out and hear some great stories.
All right. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's our show today.
You didn't thank Jim.
Hello, yes. Oh, you're quite welcome. And I want to thank you, Jackie and Joe, for doing such a wonderful job of running the show and, you know, giving everybody a chance to really speak out and tell about their experiences. And I really love your website, Jackie, and I look on it first to plan my weekend.
Oh, great. Good. That's why it's there.
And
that's
again, happy anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes. Jackie and I have been doing this show for many years. And Jackie, I am so glad to say you and John have been such great friends. And it's wonderful that you're having your 29th wedding anniversary. Congratulations.
Thank you. Let's sign off. The sound is killing me.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.